Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to PGN Tuesday evening. God bless you. Thank you for joining us and being here this evening. It is March 5th, 2024. Praise God. Well, good to be here with you tonight. This is Deborah, Tuesday evening, PGN. God bless you. Thank you for those that are called in, dialed in. And have your hand up for ministry. Pressing 1 on your keypad will help open up your phone line for that. So thank you. And those that are listening online or later time, we bless you in Jesus' name as well. And thank you for joining us here tonight. Well, so good to be here. Good to be. As the expression says, I'm breathing a lot easier. As the expression says, is that I had a coursework that was wrapping up last week and this week, and oh my goodness, the intensity of responsibility just kept overlapping and overlapping. So I finished one of my courses today, thank God, turned in the paper earlier. Did really well on the last two quizzes as well. Just got full score on those, so I'm grateful to the Lord for that. And so today, I'm just thankful to the Lord. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll kind of pop into what we're doing here. So, Father God, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for your blessings, God. I recognize, Lord, that you are the Lord that goes before us, preparing the way. God, and even as Psalm 16 says, Lord, that you guide us with your counsel, Lord, and that you lead us with your mighty right hand, and that you offer, God, treasures and pleasures in your right hand, God, that you offer to us, God. And we just want to receive from your Spirit, Lord. We know that everything that is accomplished is done by the Spirit first, Lord, in the power of your word. Father, that stands, Lord, that builds, and that heals, Lord. So we thank you for sending your word to us, Father. We receive it. In Jesus' name, Lord, help us and guide us as you've empowered us with the Holy Spirit. Guide us in your word, Lord, in the knowledge of your truth, God, to come forth, Lord. We thank you for the protection that you place over your people, that you preserve them. Lord, and you impart unto them, God, and even the things you've imparted unto them, Father, that you preserve it, God, that it would come forth as you intended, Lord, and it wouldn't be misplaced in any way, God, in wrong timing or wrong equipping or anything of the such, Father God, that it would just be prepared as an altar before you, God. And we thank you, Lord, that we have this place, Lord, to enter in faith at your altar, God, where the place where the people gather, bringing their faith for your glory and for your name's sake. And we thank you, God. May you be esteemed and may you be glorified. And we thank you, Father, even for how you choose to sanctify us and mature us, God. And I thank you, Lord, that we would even celebrate the areas where you've matured us, Lord, even by, and rejoice in that, God, because we couldn't do it on our own, Lord. We have to cooperate with the work of the Spirit who brings forth the transformation. So we thank you, Lord, how you've established your faith in us, and we rejoice in that. In Jesus' name. So I was going to say, but I was praying. I don't know if you've ever noticed, because sometimes I'll notice like this, when I've matured or God's worked on an area, certainly a lot of times the Lord will press on an area. That's how he brings forth sometimes challenges and pressing on the area where we feel like all of a sudden we just feel very limited or like exposed, like, oh, I just feel really immature or I feel really weak or like the recognition of I need to grow in this area. And the Lord does that, but we're actually working with him. Unbeknownst, we're looking at one thing, and the Holy Spirit's looking at another thing. And he's still, even though we're like, we could be focused on our weakness, as long as we're participating with him, we have the acknowledgement of it, right? And so one view might be at our forefront. The other view is at God's forefront. And when we're on the other side of it, the endurance and the perseverance, bringing endurance, is developing and shaping our faith and maturing us. And in our faith, when we're matured this way, it brings forth the fruits of the Spirit. We're going to have fruitfulness in some way, or fruits of righteousness. And fruits of righteousness, you know, a lot of times in Scripture, it talks about, when it mentions the fruits of righteousness, it quickly talks about peace and having that peace, right? So that our spirits are undisturbed. So when something happens, we're totally trust God. And like, I know what this looks like on the outside. I've been through this thing enough times to know that God can work this out. I don't have to react to this the way I would in the past, you know, or this is troubling, it's concerning, but I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to give it to the Lord, right? And he builds our resilience. He's building our faith, strengthening our faith, walking in him, right? Trees of righteousness, right? Because our roots are, we're being rooted and built up in him, and he's establishing our faith. It says that in Colossians 2. And in that, so saying, what I was going to say when and I was praying was, a lot of times I'll notice how the changes in my by my reaction, like I don't have the same reaction I would have had in the past, and that's how I notice the you know, what the Lord's built in me, or the maturity and the shaping and the transformation, right? So I don't know if that's the same for you, but maybe as I say it, you have the light bulb goes off. So the other day something happened, and I mean, the Lord was like, it was glory to God all the way, highest praises, highest honor to him and to him alone. And I was realizing my reaction in the past might have been something different. Like if somebody used my name and attached it to that testimony, I'm going to roll that back on Jesus. Like, I'm not going to even encourage a person, you share the testimony, but you make sure Christ, above all, Christ is exalted. And I truly, sincerely mean that. And I was talking to my husband, and I was saying, I realize that now I realize, because I totally know it's not me. I did nothing. It was the Spirit. I mean, I just made myself available, and God worked through me and others, and he did what he wanted to do for that person, right? So his grace was found in this person's time of need, and she was coming forth with a testimony. And so then I just realized that I feel the responsibility in the role of making sure when she shares that I'm pointing, that other people see that God is being exalted more than any one person. God is exalted and God is glorified. So anyways, just a unique, different position, but I realized, wow, in the past I may have thought something different, maybe been like maybe finally someone's seen there's a gift, or like, maybe they'll take my gift seriously now, right? I mean, that's a little immature, but or impatient, or and maybe not trusting the Lord, you know? But certainly, you know, maybe not even vocalized, but certainly thought of, you know? So anyways, it's just interesting to see how the Lord develops us in the midst of pressing even, and we were, John and I were talking about this morning, is that when they made the anointing oil, honestly, I wasn't even going to talk about this. It's funny because I'm going to talk about the watches. So we'll see the prayer watches. So let's just see how far we get on that. Let me finish this thought. Is that when they made the anointing oil, they pressed the olives. It was a three, they had to do this pressing of the olives in three different, there were three different ways that they did it. First, they just pressed the olives and they got oil from that. And then they, on the second one, they added heat to the oil to help purify it. And then the very last one, they crushed the olives to purify it even more in the processing. Well, there was three, for to get the purest oil, right? So the first one, the oil they would use like maybe for cooking, and then the second one maybe used for their lamps. But the third one transpired into the purest oil that they would use for the anointing oil, and that they would be able to send to the temple and the tabernacle. And so, and in that, the Lord presses on us as well until we're pure. He purifies that area sometimes, right? He presses on it, and then he adds heat. And then he seemingly crushes it, and we come forth pure because we just, yeah. So it's not funny. It's actually not funny at all. But this is how the Lord works. It's definitely counterintuitive to anything culture would try to teach us, or society, or even the very nature of a lot of businesses, I hate to say. So, but God is a God of character, virtue, and ethics. And he is a man that shall not lie. And he can say and do what he says he can say and do. And when we follow him, we ourselves are victorious. Right? So thanks be it unto God who causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, who's diffusing the fragrance, right? We diffuse the fragrance amongst those who are saints and amongst those who are perishing. So praise the Lord. And I think we might have said this last week, but let our light so shine that we might glorify our Father in heaven. Oh, praise God, Lord. May it continue, God. May our light shine brighter and brighter, God, as we fill our lamps with your presence, with your word, with your spirit. May we worship you, God. May it be an offering. God, may our lives be an offering unto you, unto your name, and unto your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you've probably heard of the eight prayer watches, and the Lord was dropping these numbers. He was showing me repeatedly in Scripture. They talked about the third, the sixth, and the ninth hour in Scripture, and in the Hebrew reference to that. And I was contemplating or meditating on that thought with those particular numbers on the prayer watches. So I want to talk about the prayer watch, the third watch, the sixth watch, and then the number nine. The Lord was showing me in the ninth hour in Hebrew, it was considered to be 3 p.m., because now these watches, because they're established in the Hebrew, start in the evening, right? Because their day would end in the evening and then go into the morning. But let me just see which watch is 3 p.m. because I just had come across that. Or, yeah, 3 in the afternoon. So let's see. Because there's only 8 watches, so you know there's not 9. Oh, 3 p.m. That's the last watch. So that's right, let me mark this here. Let me just go like that. All right. So the first watch is the first watch starts at 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., which is mostly a quiet time of reflection. So the ones I'm not going to cover, I'm just going to read that. I'm just going to read the title there, and then we're not. I'm not going to go any further into any prayer on that. So that's the first watch. The second watch is 9 p.m. to 12 a.m., which is kind of that's where we're at right now. The third watch is the break of day, is what they call. So from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. This is a period of much spiritual activity. This watch will strengthen your faith, and in the same time that Peter denied Christ three times, right? Now, this is book that I had got this from, they correlate the times with actually what happened to in Scripture. Okay, because they can repeat things, just like if you read Scripture, things were repeated on certain mountains or certain locations or certain times, okay? And so, I'm mentioning these times in case those, because we know prophetic people pray, it's like we can't not pray, and as well as there's intercessors here, and the if this is the time that the Lord's awaken you, to wake up and you look at the clock and you feel like the Lord, but you don't understand. And maybe he's teaching you something in that time frame. Perhaps you already did pray and this will be confirming. And then the Lord changes that sometimes to that hour. Sometimes he changes that when we're faithful to respond to him. And really, he can come to us at any given time. like the last 2 weeks where I was just saying that it was a lot of responsibility, a lot going on. Well, the Holy Spirit would place something on my heart or my mind, and I would have to really jot it down and pay attention to it and sometimes even type things up. And the Lord was in the midst of how busy I was. It was like, I think a lot of things are a test, to be honest. That's just how I kind of boil a lot down from the Lord. But it was like he was saying, or gently, like, okay, now I'm giving to this, like, make him the priority in that moment. Prioritize him so that what he says in that moment amidst what I think my time frame is, or that I could fit it in or not fit it in or get to it later because I have to do this other thing and I'm prioritizing my day for me, right? What needs to be done even outwardly, the things that people are expecting of me, like, right, you got to show up for work on time, stuff like that, you know? People are looking for dinner, you know, things like that. Well, and prioritize him. So he goes up to the very front like a boa. He comes very up to the top of the water, right? So he can be seen and he can be known. Right, take care of that. And God just seemed to put other things in order for me, like the things that were necessary, he put them in order for me. So it wasn't overtly stressed when it came time for me to do it. The flow was happening, like he might have changed my strategy in studying a little bit, you know, or leading me to read certain things that I remembered, you know. And so so I would encourage you that God is always the priority. And it is a way of him. And he's certainly not a manipulator or controller, but it's like, what is your heart devoted to? You see what I'm saying? Like, what is the priority? What is your heart devoted? Do you want to hear my voice? Do you want to follow me? You know what I'm saying? In the midst of everything, it's yes. And I know yours would be yes too. And I've definitely missed it at times thinking, well, I'll just jot this down. Or there's other times where I might've been driving thinking, this seems like the wisdom of God, but it's so intricately in the fabric of who I am that I think for certain I'll remember that, and then I don't. And then I'm not happy that I don't remember that, you know, and the Lord just showed me like, hey, that was his presence. That was him. That was him imprinting that upon your heart and your mind where it felt like you, like that's how close and interwoven it was, right? Okay, we're just going to see how I get through this. Okay. Let me just go through the times of all the watches and we'll come back to the third one. So the fourth watch, a lot of times, these will be the third and the fourth watch are definitely something I pray through. The fourth watch is the morning of 3 a.m. and to 6 a.m. Definitely a time that is very prevalent that the Lord's used in my life over the years. Okay, and then the fifth watch is 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. So most of us are awake during the day, during the time. That's the time that God strengthens Christians, the time for the Holy Spirit to prepare us for service, right? Because we're about to go out in the day. Yes. Okay, and then the sixth watch is 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And it's a time to see God's promises fulfilled, a time to reflect on the power of the cross, healing, prosperity, forgiveness, and strength. And then the eighth watch, which is between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m., is an hour of dying to yourself and rejoicing in the power of Christ. Okay. Thank you, Lord. What time is it? Okay, let's see how fast we can go. All right, I'm not gonna read all of this, but I do wanna play some of this, I think, because this third watch, this period, they also call it the witching hour because this is the darkest and most demonic part of the night, especially at midnight, and where it says that there's people who do witchcraft and things of the sort do incantations during this part of the night. It's a time where the enemy operates. So we just want to, as intercessors, it says that this watch calls for seasoned intercessors, okay, which is the third watch between 12 a.m. and 3 a.m. So if the Lord wakes you up, then he's determined, and you know you're to pray, then the Lord's just called you a seasoned intercessor. He knows you're ready. He's equipped you, and he's calling you to take part, okay? You must not be afraid of witchcraft during this time. The Lord has given us dominion and authority over all things. So using your armor and knowing how to pray, it's a time to pray against these attacks, against our families, our family members, marriages, churches, communities. The Lord's had me pray in our neighborhood before. I think I've told you that during So the Lord will show you where to release this at and ask for divine, Psalm 91, 5 and 6, and divine protection for yourself, your family, your church, your city, and your nation. It's a time for commanding the morning and setting things in place by the order of the Lord, okay? It's a time to saturate with powerful Spirit-led prayers. It's a time to any destruction or distraction that's robbing you of God's blessing and provision in your life. It's also a time to seek peace and calm in every situation of turbulence or confusion. Be vigilant during this time for God's revelation and breakthrough for his plans, purposes for your life and territory, right? Because he tells us to take dominion. Paul and Silas were released from prison during this time. Samson escaped from Gaza at midnight by pulling up the gates of the city and carrying them out with him. This is a time to pray for God's provisions to be released, and also a time for miracles and applying the blood of Jesus. Come on. Often we are awakened during this time with dreams God's given to us, and God uses dreams and visions to bring instruction, counsel, as we sleep, and he reveals the areas that need to consecrate our prayers and intercession. We know that from Job. So, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus against all demons in the night, nightmares, torment, sleeplessness. Father, we ask that you protect minds while we sleep, peace while we lie down. For you alone, Lord, keep us safe. Father, by the blood of Jesus and the power of your name, may it spoil every attack of the enemy. The blood cancels and forcefully opposes any satanic activity of the enemy. The blood cancels and forcefully opposes any satanic operations and strategies that are designed to hinder and prevent God's plans and operations and strategies which are designed to hinder and prevent your plans and purposes for my life, the listener's life, Lord, and our family and family's family from manifesting. Father, you said in your word that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth is loose in heaven. Therefore, through the name of Jesus and the power of his blood, we bind and break all witchcraft, curses, spells, powers of darkness against us and our family bloodline in Jesus' name. We cancel every attack of oppression, depression, perversion, distraction, hindrance, and deception. No evil shall befall me or plague come near our dwelling. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. You order your angels to protect us wherever we go, God, our families, God, where we stand, God, as households, matriarchs and patriarchs of our family, God. May we be shielding, holding up the shield of faith, God, as they could come up behind us, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for you give us the desires and the secret petitions of our heart because we delight in you. We proclaim that your provisions have no lack for our family, our body, or our finances. You supply all of our needs according to your glorious riches, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. And we pray that scheming devices and seducing enticements be cut off and rooted out, God, even politically in Jesus' name. Okay, let's go to the sixth watch here. Okay. All right, here we go. I think we're doing good. Okay, so it's time to see. Oh, no, wait, hold on a second. See God's promises fulfilled. Okay, actually, we're going to skip over that one. Maybe we'll come back to that one next week. Leave that paperclip there. But the eighth watch, but we will declare the promises of God to be fulfilled, and you can be praying that and know that that is okay to pray. Okay, so the eighth watch between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. is the hour of dying to self and rejoicing in the power of Jesus Christ. So Jesus died on the cross during this watch, 3 p.m. He took on the sins of man so that we can be reconciled to God through his blood. Those who accept Jesus' sacrifice can now live in triumph life with him and are allowed to come boldly before the throne of God. As Jesus died, he was resurrected. So the Bible calls us to die to ourselves and live for Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20 that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. After his resurrection, Jesus Christ gave his power to live a life of victory and authority to accomplish God's will here on earth. Okay, saints, let us accomplish the will of God on earth and see his promises fulfilled. Then Jesus came to say, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Okay, so here's the prayers for this prayer watch, which there's only 4 points, and then we're going to open up the phone line. Father, in the name of Jesus, we have been crucified with Christ. And it's us, it's I myself no longer live. You could put your name in there, but Christ lives in me. The life we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who loves us and gave himself for us. So we thank you, God. We receive that, Lord. We receive it, Father God. We receive, Lord, the generosity of you giving yourself, Lord, the humility and humanity that you bore and your willingness to say yes and obedience to the Father. May we continually learn from you, learn of your ways and of your will. And we thank you, Father, for never leaving us or forsaking us. In Jesus' name. And now we give ourselves completely to you. God, let us be tools and vessels and equippers in your hands to be used of your good purposes. And sin no longer has a power over our lives, Lord. But we are free, Lord, by your favor and by your mercy. You have made us what we are. You know, I think Paul said, I am who I am by the grace of God. You've created us in Jesus Christ to live a life filled with good works. And you've prepared for us to do. You've begun a good work within each one of us, God, and you will continue to help us grow in your grace until your task within us is finally finished, Lord, on the day of Jesus Christ returns, Philippians 1:6. So I also just did want to read what the number 9 means. Okay, this book. Okay, it says, evangelism, Holy Spirit's perfect movement and conclusion, fullness of blessings, renewal, judgment, serpent, tribulation, fruit of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, completeness, and finality. Okay, Lord, so Father, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that just as we prayed and just as we've been saved, God, that we would pass on that blessing, God, the fulfillment of that blessing, Father, that you would receive the reward of your suffering, God, that we would honor and glorify you, Lord, by seeing others saved, God, and speaking of you, God, give us the wisdom. Lord, your word says the wise save souls, Lord, but we know, Father God, that we plant and water, but it's you who brings the increase. So we ask that, God, we ask for your favor and grace and blessing on bringing the increase, Father, and giving us the words to boldly speak and boldly proclaim, God, and that you would cover the people by your glory, God, and that that would just change even nations, Lord, that we would, whoever we pray with and witness with, Lord, that that they would tell their families, Lord, and their households and their, you know, generations, whether it's their parents or grandparents, and let it change nations, God. Let it just trickle into nations. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. That's what we're going to cover for tonight. And hold on one second. All right, let's start with our first caller here. Thank you so much for joining us. It is 828-442. Good evening. This is Jennifer.
Hi. Blessings, Deborah. It is.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Blessings to you. Let me close your phone line and come right back to you. Thank you so much for joining us. So, Father, we thank you for Jennifer in Jesus' name. We just lift her up to you, Father. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your name. God, Lord, I thank you for the things that you've embedded into her. Yeah, it's like I'm seeing the word embedded. You know how you can take a code? The only way I know this, I'm going to look up what this means, but they used to be, you know, like instead of a link, instead of, you would have to use a code, an embedded code, in order to tell the computer or to tell the website how to view a video. You know, like you would use this embedded code. So I'm seeing the Lord, and he's embedded things into you. But let me just see specifically in a... okay. Fixed. Firmly and deeply in the surrounding mass attached. Okay, it could be a military thing. So that's interesting. Fixed firmly and deeply surrounded. So I like that. So yes, the Lord has embedded things into you. I thank you, Lord, for even knowing the code, Lord, for fixing the things that you have fixed and firmly planted within her, God, that are embedded into her, Father. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you. We thank you for that, God, in Jesus' name. And you know, sometimes the I'm just thinking of the I was thinking of the code thing. Is that where it's embedded like that? Is that like this, how do you say, it's not the same as the English language. So it has the embedded code. It's like a different language that nobody can disrupt that. It can't be fragmented at really in any way, you know, and or disrupted. It's embedded and kind of like hidden and its own type of language. So that nobody else can interrupt that, you know, or cause it to be fragmented in any way, which is pretty cool, you know. So, Father, we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, if there be anything else within that embedding, God, and just securely and firmly and deeply surrounding her and planting into her, Jesus' name, gosh, it just brings joy in that lamp. It's just joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's good. Very good.
Amen.
Here we go. Amen.
Amen.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. It is. Wow. Oh, the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, amen. You know, it's kind of like our faith. If we keep our faith stoked up, we're kind of like throwing on, you know, like it's supposed to be an altar, right? So if we keep throwing on the logs, like and keep it burning and keep the altar burning within us, you know, our faith in there, like nobody can really touch it. There's a lot of circumstances and a lot of, you know, things that can happen, betrayal. We see that even with Jesus and communion every week we read that. And, but nobody can touch our faith. Like no one can disrupt that truly. Nobody can. If we're managing that in a sense where we're on a continual and a continuum, even when we don't know, I mean, I guess when I'm just even now thinking about how Randy was talking about Job, you know, nothing disrupted his faith, you know, like, yeah, God burned away the circumstances and a lot of other things, which way more than I pretend to understand or know, but, or any other of his fear. I mean, you know, I'm sure it was a working of a lot of things that God did, a multitude of tests that he went through on that one, you know, layers. But nobody really took his faith. I mean, you know, he might have had a doubt and question and vocalized, but not truly did he give up his faith or walk away from that, you know? And so the things that the Lord's embedded into you, right, like engrafted into you, nobody can touch that. Nobody can take that, no matter what happens. Those are between you and the Lord.
Yes. I just resonate with that word so much.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, there's been a continual pouring in of God's love and revelation, and just I've been experiencing, I mean, today has just been such a great day. Just been experiencing and just almost like a permanent contentment, just such a trust in God, you know, unbothered by others, just this calmness and peace and gratitude and deeper love. It's just like everything, like, I don't know how to say this. Well, he's been doing a deep healing in me for years, but I just feel like it's gone, like oppression, depression, hopelessness, discouragement, failures, disappointments. It's like he's removed all that and is really just making me see things through a new lens and mm-hmm. just really my true identity. And like all of that I just mentioned, it's like I just see the tremendous value of all the suffering, you know, of the cross, this tremendous value, because it's, and I never looked at it like this, but in the way that I am now, anyway, he's just given me such amazing gifts in the suffering and in my testimonies, so I can make a difference and my life can bear witness to the goodness of God. I'm no longer listening to the lies of the enemy. I'm listening to his truth and getting better discernment, just seeing things through his lens, and all the while teaching me about and learning about the deception and the deceit of the enemy, which is just,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's just ridiculous. But it's, you know, the enemy thinks he's winning, but he's not, because everything he throws at me, every lie, every just the situations in my life now, God is teaching me. He's teaching me more of the enemy. And, you know, so I'm ready. I'm ready to go to war. I'm ready. He's just preparing me. And it's just, yeah, the goodness of God. He's so good. I just, such a lightness to me right now, just light. I just feel so light. And it is a lightness when you have that trust that no matter what happens, like God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no more like, poor me, you know, why am I going through this again? You know, I've been going through this for 15 years. It's just like I see, wow, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for these amazing gifts through this suffering. Thank you for these testimonies. Thank you. I mean, I cannot say that enough to him tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you. This is growing, and he's really stretching me.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible. I guess I was thinking I can think of a couple. I mean, what can I say? I think that I've learned, but you know how I don't want to even say that in my own understanding, because I don't, you know, the Holy Spirit gives you something, you're like, oh, that was completely something I didn't know. Anyways, okay, how do I really say it to say humbly? There are things that I have learned when going into a challenge. Like, I guess I'm more aware than ever that I'm going into it to be strengthened. And I have this awareness of the Lord where I'm asking him and in through it that I could see clearly. Like, I want to see what's coming from. I want to see the integrity of the other person. I want to see what the spiritual thing is behind it, you know, and if is it attached to that person, you know, and whether they know it or not, you know, like whether they're participating in it or if it's just out of a wound or whatever, you know. And then what do I need to learn? Like, where do I need to be strengthened? Where am I being hit? Where I might feel weak, or I might think I'm too strong. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not my righteousness.
Yes.
Stay humble. Do you know what I mean? Like, what am I learning? What are you showing me? But when you were saying you're just thanking him for the sufferings, I was thinking there are a couple of things that happened that I don't know that I have actually thanked him for that particular. So, and I'm just being perfectly honest, but that's what made me think of it. When you said that, I was thinking, I can think of a couple of things that I don't know. I guess maybe the Lord needs to, like, roll some things over in my heart still that are, like, I don't necessarily maybe feel like it's definitely not unforgiveness. I don't know. I'm not holding a grudge. Actually, the Lord just showed me what it was. It's pride. And let me say it this way. It's because and this usually happens with, so I didn't know that was, but that's okay. Like, I'm willing to participate and yield to the grace of God, right, as it's coming forth. That when there's a injustice, that one,
yes,
to unpack that and unravel that. And so I think that's where it is. So actually, thank you for saying that, because now I have something to work with.
Well, it's, you know, I've experienced a lot of injustice, but, you know, God is the vindicator, and I know that. And so, you know, my flesh, you know, wants to, you know, defend myself, or, you know, this isn't fair, you know, things like that. But it, you know, I guess something that I haven't always done very well is renewing my mind. I've allowed the enemy to attack me, and I haven't, you know, stood up, you know, to him like I should. And I actually attended this weekend a deliverance. It was actually teaching on warfare and deliverance, which I feel like the Lord's leading me that, you know, to that type of ministry. And I was freed of so much. Like, I was freed. I watched others get freed, and I'm just learning how to fight. You know, I can't just sit here. I have to fight. And it's like, I'm, apart from losing my son, I think I'm probably going through currently one of the things that has been the most difficult in my life. And yesterday was a pretty hard day, but it's like I woke up and it's like, God, just like renew your mind. You know, it's like not believing the lies, or not even being affected by the lies others are believing, but just, well, what does my truth say? And knowing that the Lord, he sees all, he knows all, and just knowing that he knows the truth, it's become enough. It's become enough for me, and it always has not been that way. And I know that I could not do that in my own flesh. I give God glory for that, because I couldn't, obviously, through all these years. You know, I couldn't strive to make that happen. It's him. And when you just you know, as I release, I find myself releasing everything to him instead of letting it affect me, release it immediately to him. And then in return, he's just been giving me his peace. And it's like peace that I've just experienced as peace, but it's not been, this is just on a different level. It's just knowing who I am and not as he's healed, you know, brokenness and stuff in me, then, you know, just being able to look in the mirror and not loathe myself, or, you know, just seeing that I'm his child and I'm made in his image, and just seeing myself, I'm made in his image. How can I loathe his image? You know, it's mm-hmm. he's just really doing such a beautiful work in me, and I just give him glory. Like, yeah, just healing scars and just wounds that have all the way back to childhood. God mm-hmm. transforms with testimonies of his grace. So
yeah,
and yeah, I think yeah. I mean, the power, I feel like his power really is, if we haven't experienced it there in that area, I mean, there's really, I mean, how do you minister to other people? So even though I feel like my life has been just, it's been one thing after another, just a lot of suffering. It's like changing my mindset and just seeing that, oh, wow, God, this is, you know, yeah, I suffered. I partook of Christ's suffering, but like, you're going to use this. Like, if I didn't have A, B, C, D, and E, and F, if I haven't experienced all these things, I wouldn't be able to help or minister to other people because I wouldn't have any understanding. And so it's just finding that place of gratitude. And I just, yeah, he's just, you know, I've made a lot of poor choices in my life, and I feel like he's just teaching me to have better discernment and make compromises, and which aren't on him. Those actions, you know, produced my own suffering. I did that. And so it's really just taking accountability and just allowing God to just touch those places. And when he touches those places and gives you that liberty to be completely changed.
Yes, that is very true. That is a good word. And you're reminding me that, so there's an element where I do need to look to him and stop looking to me, because that's what my pride does, right? Is like, hey, this, even if the other person didn't take responsibility mm-hmm. or even think it was a worthy, even if they demeaned the affliction or the offense or whatever. So the Lord's just speaking the wisdom is that if I look to the Lord with it and ask for his understanding, how it can be used for others, because
I've been going through that, because like I feel, you know, when accusations come at you or just untruths, and you know that they're lies of the enemy that a person's dealing with or whatever, and you know our ego, our self wants to stand up for ourselves, and God won't let me. It's like his spirit in me, he's like, no. He won't let me go there. So there's like a deep humbling, you know, and I'm hearing him clearly, no. You know, I can either choose to be obedient mm-hmm. or disobedient. You know, it's a constant like having to die to my flesh. And yes, it hurts. It hurts because, you know, we still have this, you know, we still battle our flesh. You know, we will. And,
right.
But God, it's like, Kleenex in his hand. It's like, okay, you see this, you know this, and you know the truth, and you know my heart, and you see, you know this other person, and you know this other person's heart, and, you know, don't believe they're a bad person, but you know it. And there's an empathy that comes with that, because mm-hmm. when you can see so clearly they're battling demons, then there's just such an empathy. I mean, you don't see that person as, you know, you don't put a label on a person, and you see that person like in a battle, a spiritual battle. I mean, it brings me tears, but it's a call to prayer as well. And the situation may not always turn out, you know, the way that we want or the way that we think, but, you know, having to remember God is working all things out for our good. And that doesn't just mean our good, that means their good too. And there's an acceptance and just a letting go and this non-attachment to the outcome and just letting God be God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't want to tie the garbage on.
Because actually, through a different experience, I did not defend myself at all. It's what you were talking about, like through mm-hmm. accusations and a lot of false. I did not defend myself at all through that. But what I was thinking was another, a different experience, a different incident. But I think also there's a mix too of like from my prophetic side is where I see where the truth is, and when the truth mm-hmm. doesn't get reconciled, sometimes that's hard for me to, I don't know how to resolve that within myself, especially if I've interceded over that particular area. And I've recently asked the Lord about this as well, like how do I, like when the other person's not walking in the fullness of the truth that's been revealed, to me it just feels like it's not reconciled yet, so it's just left hanging. But maybe, anyway, I just have to talk to the Lord about that part. So there's a mix between the truth element of it and being prophetic, but maybe there's a little bit of pride attached to that, like, hey, how come? So I don't know. I'm like, I need to explore that more with the Holy Spirit. But today when I was reading something, it was talking about something, and I forget what it was talking about, and something, I don't know if it was church or state or whatever, but when I was reading it, I started thinking about the church, and I was like, well, this is similar to what happens when people get hurt by church, and then they don't go to church anymore. And I was thinking, I could probably write a book about church to help people, like, and to corral people back to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it has more something to do in that realm, like in that, you know, thing. So not really just one person, but a whole category of people, structured people, you know. So I want to see what the Lord does with it, because it's interesting as you were talking how it was just coming up. So I did take notes on it so that the Lord could remind me and I can go back and check the date and whatnot. I wanted to mention a book to you. We were talking about a testimony, and I don't know if you have like all of what you started to say earlier about even seeing the enemy's deceptions and breaking all that apart and being able to do it and share that testimony in kind of a teachable, well, it becomes a very teachable way, not that this hasn't been teachable right here, but in the sense where, these people right here they wrote this book called, I don't know, this, but this is just a resource, okay, for just something if you want to check out later, because it made me think of you earlier, and then you just said something else that made me want to go back to this. What is their book called? Their names are Chuck and Ashley, and they do relationship. They have like relationship resources and whatnot, and marriage stuff and relationship stuff, and then. Their book is called something like I Used to Be, and then like a line with like fill in the blank, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And really they're just giving insights and talking about taking on God's identity, somewhat like what you're saying, you know. And even mm-hmm. though the Lord has taught you what he's taught you, I don't know if there's some elements to the how they use their, because I think they're counselors too, how they use their
well, I don't think we're ever done being taught. Yeah, and
oh, no,
you know,
definitely.
There's plenty more for me to learn. It's just God's just done so much, and I see this the transformation in myself, and I'm just giving him glory for that. But I am by no way there. You know?
Oh yeah, I just think that it would be a good like possibly help like shape your own testimony and using and helping other people too. Like even if like your testimony became a workshop, do you know what I'm saying? Like or whatever.
That's really interesting.
You would use that.
What were their names again?
Okay, Chuck and Ashley are their names.
Okay.
And I think their book is called something like I Used to Be. I don't know why it's not on. Let me see if it's on a different email. But hold on, let me just put their names in here, even though I know people are waiting. Okay, I'm not going to find it, but I think that's what it is. Let me see if it's, yeah, that's it. I Used to Be, and then there's a line, like a, by Chuck Elliott, Chuck and Ashley Elliott is their last name.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's really interesting.
Yeah, because a lot of what you were saying actually goes along with what they were saying, like what they were. Anyway, there's some good tools in there too. So, well, praise God.
Thank you
so much for joining us and sharing with everyone. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too.
Thank you. Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. 804-218. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
I don't know. Who are you speaking to?
That's funny. Hey, Ange. How are you?
Hey, how are you tonight?
Good. I'm feeling good. Yeah. All right, girl, let me unmute you and we'll come back to you. Thank you so much. So, Father God, we thank you for Angie, Father, in Jesus' name. And we lift her up to you, Father God. We thank you, Lord. I was seeing like the energy or energized. You know, the what is that? High in speed and high places. And just being energized. I thank you. I thank you for that, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord, just for movement. You know, the high speed and high places. I don't know, there's a book. I don't know if you ever read it. It's many years ago, but it's like even the ability to go and to step into places, you know, not only climbing the mountain of faith, basically fearlessly, right? And but climbing this mountain of faith, and but also the strength to withstand like the stamina and the ability and the, you know, agility to maneuver in such a manner that you're called to, you know, like there's that great strengthening and the stride. And but I'm also seeing a lot of, there's energy, a lot of energy, like a continuum and an energy with it as well. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for your glory, God. We thank you for your stamina. on Angie, God, and giving her hinds feet in highest places, God, and Lord, and just even the balance, God, as she's there to balance and to sustain, and the agility, God, as she waits on you, even for the next move, God, and to show her that she sees it and she steps into it, God, and she doesn't say, you know, you don't like, it's too small or that's too steep or that rock's wet. That's what you're designed for, is to step into it, to step into it. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God. And even that being an example, really, for the rest of us, God, to go for it with God, Lord, and to step into it, God. I thank you, Lord, just that it's just, you know, maybe that's part of where the energy comes as well, is that as you do that and others see it, it's like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Like, I want to step in faith too, you know, like it just encourages that. And there is a, you know, it encourages that, and it builds other people's strength and other people's faith when we share those stories and they see, you know, stepping into those places. So I thank you, Father God, that you would bless her. God, bless her in that, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, the
hinds feet. You ever seen the goats that climb the mountain where they're standing on a ledge,
yes,
hanging on? That's what hinds feet do for you.
Yeah.
Hang on where nobody can understand how you're hanging on.
You're funny. That's funny. That's true. That does apply. That's possible.
Oh, Lord.
That's
it
funny.
Is possible. Yeah. That is funny.
Yeah.
That's what I pictured, was those mountain goats on the side of the mountain. You're trying, they look funny, you know, how they climb up there just to get a nibble of grass, you know.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Just a taste, you know, because it's rocky ground, you know, and they want some green grass. They don't want that burnt up stuff, so they got to climb up high to get that grass.
Yeah, that's right. You're reminding me why they even go up there.
Huh?
Yeah, you were reminding me why they even, I was just thinking, I forgot why they were even climbing that mountain.
Right, yeah, to get the grass. To get a taste. Just to get a taste, that's all we need, just a taste.
That's funny. That was so cute.
Yeah.
That's so great.
So, yeah.
Oh, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been going to a small church because I've been one of those people that kind of, well, you know, going through sickness and stuff, and then afterwards, it's not as easy to go back to church after you've, you know, been a caregiver and wrung out, and, you know, the church, unless they come to you, you know what I'm saying? You spend
mm-hmm.
a lot of time giving care and taking care of folks, and then you're not in the habit of going to church or fellowshipping with a bunch of people. It takes a while to get back into it.
Sure.
And not only that, you feel a little bit like it's not as communal as it used to be. So, especially country churches, they're connected and probably family connected too. But city churches are a little different. I'm from a country church.
So when you say
church,
small church, when you say small church, how many people would you guess approximately?
It last Sunday it was 8.
Oh, 8 people?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that is small. You're right.
You know, baby steps.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Where did you guys meet?
Well, my brother's friend started the church. He built the shed, turned it into a church. And, for a while it was four, now it's eight. And I went a couple times and I was like, I don't know if I can do this, But the last Sunday, and it's at 2:00, so it's not in conflict with the other churches. But, it was very intimate, personal, and exchanging, and you could tell that it's from people that probably have experienced a lot of rejection or hard life circumstances. So it's the Misfit Island, I guess. you ever watch Rudolph the Reindeer and the Misfit Island? So anyway, but it was it's good, and it's refreshing. Where before I was like, oh, it's Sunday, my brother's gonna ask me to go with him, and I'm gonna go, and it's not, but I'm gonna go because I'm gonna go. Now it's like, it's Sunday, and at 2:00 I have to be at church. So it's like an excitement, you know what I mean? It's a growing thing.
Yeah, that's good. That's awesome.
You know. But I guess there's seasons and times where you can, you pull away and process things. A lot of times, the wilderness time in your life, God grows you a lot in those solitude moments because it gives you time not to be so distracted. It shuts down the noise. What you learn and what you process and what you work through, your woe is me, when I was a little girl, there was this black snake that wrapped himself around the tree, and we lived not too far from an old water quarry that had filled up with water, and it had a lot of, vegetation for the, and a lot of animals and stuff, and the snakes grew big. So it was a king snake, and it wrapped himself around the tree, and I imagine he's probably every bit of 10 feet. He could wrap around the tree and hold himself up off the tree. He was hissing at me,
I
was sitting. It was after church. My brother and sister had locked me out of the house, and Mom and Dad had laid down for a nap, and everybody at Grandma's house, which is at the top of the hill, was kind of napping out. So I was pouting, nobody loves me, and I was swinging on the little, and all of a sudden that little snake was going, pss, pss. And then I started screaming, banging on doors, went up, and my uncle jumped up, come running down and rescued me from that snake and got rid of the snake by taking one of the swings down and wrapping it, around the tree. And cutting the snake with the chain. But, it taught me then that you don't want to sit too long in a pity party because the snake shows up going, pfft.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Hey.
Man.
Hey.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've never seen
but
a
you
snake.
You,
oh, no, go ahead.
You've
never
seen
a
snake?
Wrap around a tree.
Oh, yeah, wraps around a tree. I mean, a king snake is, they're pretty, they're pretty aggressive. So is a black racer. We had all of those kind of snakes around there. Yeah. So, and we were, you holler snake. That's what you do. You start hollering snake and run. You make them mad. If you make them mad, they'll fight you. They'll stand. They won't go away from you. They'll fight you.
Really? Well, we had a pastor one time. He was born in Kenya because his parents were missionaries, and the men's group from the church went camping. He would not sleep on the ground because he's so afraid of snakes. From when he grew up in Kenya, he would sleep in his car every time.
Oh, that's funny. My husband was scared of snakes. One dropped down. We was out on the near the water at James River runs on the backside of Carey Street, and we was off of Carey Street, and one of the moccasins had dropped down from the tree onto the tractor, and he jumped off the tractor and started running. snake, and the tractor took off. I reached and grabbed and pulled the snake off and said, get back on the tractor, and slung it on the floor, on the ground. And he got back on the tractor and used the front bucket to put it, but I had to reach and get the snake off or the tractor was going to be lost.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
But I'm not scared of them, you know. I'm not scared of snakes, but I will holler. When I will, the last one, I seen one last year that came out of my flower garden. I just talked to him, told him to go about his business. He minds his, I'll mind mine. Yeah, I didn't kill him because, you know, they do get rid of pests.
Yeah.
They have a purpose, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm not, as a little girl, I was taught to be afraid of them, but we never knew. As a young girl, I couldn't identify which one was poison or not poison. So they just taught us
to
stay away from the snakes. But, you know, do I want to hold them, cuddle them, and call them, make them pets? No. But I'm not really scared of them. And I don't want to be trapped in a small place with it either, because we are going to kill it. I will kill you if you threaten me. If you keep tormenting me, I'm going to have to take you out. I'm sorry. But
you're in
LA,
all right. Yes.
Anyway.
Well, hey. Yes. Well, good to talk to you. And I love country stories. I really do. Especially when a pastor, like some of them, they're sharing a story and then they illustrate with something in the country. I'm like, oh, I love this. It's just like, it just seems, I don't know, I just like that down home kind of nature kind of a thing.
Well,
go ahead.
Do I have any what? No, you can.
Prayer request.
Any prayer requests? Yeah, my mom's not feeling good tonight. Her name's Della.
Okay. All right, let's pray for Della then. Thank you so much for joining and hanging out with us tonight. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Goodbye. Father, we thank you for Della, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Father. We just bless, Lord, her chest, God, her lungs. Lord, we thank you, Father, God, for her respiratory system, Lord. And we thank you, Father, just for expanding your breath in Della's lungs, Father. We thank you for Lord, just being with her and bestowing your blessing of healing and restoration of health upon her, God. We thank you, Lord, that as she sleeps, let it be restorative and rejuvenating, God, and refreshing for every cell in her body, every functioning aspect of health to work together, God, as you fearfully and wonderfully have made her, God, and wonderful are your works in her and through her, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, our next caller is 903-808. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, Deborah, this is Jeannie.
Oh, hey, Jeannie, how are you?
I'm good. I called because I was going to, I called about one thing, and then when I was listening to your teaching some, it made me think of some other things. But I originally called because I didn't know if Randy had sent you that I had a dream with you in it. It was you and I were in the dream together, which was really unusual. I mean, considering I've never really met you. About 3 weeks ago, did he forward that to you?
No, he did not.
Huh. That's interesting. I was going to ask you what your take on it, because it was just so strange to have that dream. It was a little short dream. The Lord has given me dreams a lot of times through the years, has led me that way and stuff. But it struck me, like I said, funny, because you were in the dream, and I've never really met you other than through Block Talk. But in the dream, you and I were in a house together, and it was a nice house, you know, like what you would call an upper scale neighborhood type house. And we were in there, and I can remember like it was a brick house, and it was like we were in the den area, and you know, really high ceilings, big, you know, big den, nice furniture. And all of a sudden, it was like a storm had come up, but there was a flash flood, and as the flash flood came, and we were in the house. I was aware that the waters were rising, and the house was literally picked up off of its foundation. And I walked to the front door, and I opened the door and realized that there was water all around us, but it was in a neighborhood. I mean, there were other houses, but that we were floating on the water. It had picked the house up off its foundation, and we were floating. And so I shut the door real quick. And I went to the middle of the room. There was a big round coffee table there, and you had walked to the coffee table and kind of crouched down, kind of holding on to it because afraid that the house might move and things might start falling. But nothing did. And in the dream, I had the whole sensation of the house floating on the water. Like I said, it was a flash flood, and so the house moved down, like to the front. It went down the street. Past these other houses, and then as the flash flood left, the house just settled right back down, and nothing was disturbed, nothing fell, nothing was broken, and then, I mean, we were fine. Nothing absolutely happened at all, and when I texted Randy, I told him, I said, this is unusual. I said, because it's me and Deborah, and I said, the only house that you and I have in common is the house of PGN, you know.
Right,
That spiritual house is a house that we share. And in the dream, it was like a flash flood came, but we were kept, even though it repositioned the house, it moved it to a different location, it repositioned it, that nothing was harmed, nothing happened. So I didn't know if he had sent it to you or not. I had asked him to send it to you, and I guess he forgot. But I was going to see your take on that, if let you think about it and see if there's anything you get from it.
Yeah, wow. Wow, that's so interesting because, I don't know, yeah, it is interesting because I was thinking, the household of faith and, good. Let me just see. I mean, I do have my book right here, but I do want to, yeah, that's,
it was
okay, hold
up.
I want to just look up.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No,
go ahead. It was a short dream, but it was, you know, I think it absolutely was a dream from the Lord. Just the whole thing, because I hadn't been, you know, there was just, I know it was a dream from the Lord, but just not sure of
and
all the meaning
it
was.
And what were you doing as the house was moving, like, what were you thinking and doing, and, like, was it,
You know, after I went to the front door, and I opened the door, and I realized that there was a flood around us, and I had felt the house, like, come up, you know, come up and float, and I saw it, and I said, when I turned around, you had gone to the middle of the room and kind of crouched down and kind of, you know, just grabbed hold of the table of that big round coffee table. Like I said, kind of getting in the middle of the room in case anything started to fall off the walls or light fixtures or anything. And so I went to where you were. I turned and went to the coffee table as well, thinking, yeah, I'll probably get away from the walls in case anything moves. But the house just floated, just, you know, so peacefully. It just floated with the flash flood and then went down the road, you know, went down the street a little piece and then just set right back down. And, of course, the waters had receded then, and that was all of it. That was all of the time.
Wow. That's kind of cool in some ways.
It is. Because you wouldn't expect, I mean, in the dream, this house was a brick house on a slab foundation. So those type of houses don't typically float, for starters. You know, it wasn't like a frame house upon a pier and beam. So it's the type of house that would normally float. But in the dream, it did. It came up off its foundation and floated. And in the dream, I could actually sense, I could feel the sensation of floating and movement on the water, which was neat.
Oh, okay. Well, here, I just looked up two elements, but I am gonna keep praying on it and stuff. And I don't know if, let me just say these first. So a den, on this one it says a place of fellowship with friends and family, relaxing, comfort, a place of retreat. But then floods, I do not see flash flood in here, but I do see floods. It says abundance, overflowing, outpouring, a global deluge, how do you say that, of the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Wow. Yeah.
A global.
Cool.
A submersion of spiritual teachings and revival, great harvest, increase, extending borders. Yeah.
You know, the only thing that I really got into as far as the, and I mean, I haven't looked up anything. I do have some Barbie breathed stuff on symbols and all.
Yes, that's
but
who I
was
have.
That
yeah.
in the, is that the flood repositioned us? It moved the house from where it was to another location. And it was like, okay, the flash flood repositioned us, but nothing was harmed, nothing was broken in the process. And we were safe.
Yeah.
And anyhow, just a real, real interesting dream. I had meant to call last week and just didn't get to. But at any rate, I wanted to run it by you because I didn't know if whether or not for sure he had sent it to you and was curious as what your thoughts were on it. So, and the other thing,
yeah,
I was going to ask.
Thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate that.
Thank you
so much for making sure that I got that. I can't tell you how much I do appreciate that. So thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I was listening to his teaching on the watches. And it brought back, you know, you were talking about me waking up back, and I can't remember exactly when it was, 12, 13, 14, maybe even 15 years ago. I went through a season, and I'm going to say it was a few weeks, of the Lord waking me up at 3 a.m. to pray. And it went on, I don't remember if it went on like 3 weeks, something like that, maybe a month. But it waked me up, and I knew it was like an obedience to the Lord, waking me up at 3 a.m. And a few years later, anyhow, in 2014, the end of 2014, my sister was dying. And the night, of course, I didn't, you know, you don't know when they're leaving for sure. I had a feeling, yeah, she died on Christmas Eve day. But the night before, at 3 a.m., the Lord woke me up to pray. And I got up and I went to the kitchen at exactly 3 a.m. and prayed in tongues. Not very long, to be honest, just for a little while. And I prayed in tongues, and I went back to bed. The next morning, a lady, and I think this is just so how God does. I mean, just so neat how the Lord does. A lady that I would see, now I didn't go to church with her like a home church, but I would see her in meetings. A lady I knew, she knew my sister a little bit. She knew me a bit better, but I wouldn't say either one of us were like close to her, just more of an acquaintance type friend. Anyhow, she contacted me, and she said that the Lord had gotten her up. She lived in the next town from me, so she wasn't even in the same town. The Lord had woke her up at 3 a.m. to pray for my sister and had given her a vision. She had written the vision down. See, when the Lord got me up at 3 a.m. at the very same time in another town, he had gotten her up at 3 a.m. to pray.
Wow.
She wrote the vision down, and then she actually gave that vision to me several days later. And anyhow, the very next day, which was Christmas Eve, my sister passed away. And you were talking about, you mentioned the eighth watch between 3 and 6 p.m. My sister died right about 320, 325, right in there. And I was looking, and the eighth watch is also called the transformational watch.
Wow.
So I thought, oh, my God. You know, it was so, when you were talking about it, I mean, I was aware of the watches, never had really studied them per se, but was just aware of them. But when I was looking at that, my phone is just going crazy here. Hold on. But that from 3 to 6 a.m., of course, the one goes from 1 to 3 and then 3 to 6. So the 3 o'clock actually overlaps into both watches. But the 3 to 6 are seen as a time of like breaking the enemy's plans and a time of gaining victory and like for the things that are ahead. And I thought, how amazing when I was sitting there thinking about that. I wasn't aware that the 3 to 6, anyhow, but the one from the daytime, the 3 to 6 p.m. was called a transformational watch, because I thought, oh my gosh, the Lord got us up, me and Dale, to pray at 3 a.m. and then God took her home during the eighth watch of the 3 to 6 p.m. That was a transformational time. And I thought, how, you know, God is so into numbers, and I thought, how miraculous. I mean, just how amazing something like that, even though, you know, it was a sad thing, but not in God's eyes. I mean,
yes.
But anyway,
yeah.
just, when you were talking about the watches, at first I was thinking about it. I thought, oh, I remember the season that I went through that God got me up at 3 a.m. And then suddenly that remembrance of the night before and then the day of my sister's death, of the times that were involved. And I just thought, wow, you know, how significant all of that was.
Yeah. Wow, that is really interesting. Wow. Wow. Because I almost didn't read the eighth watch. I just went to it because at the last minute with the numbers that were in it. But too, talking about, you know, Jesus who died, right, and the resurrection, his resurrection power, and the word telling us, you know, that our last enemy is death, but we've conquered it because of his resurrection power, you know, and just the, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's there's so many just awesome things. You know, when she died, when my sister died, you know, her husband was real distraught, which naturally, and I remember I prayed and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, would you give him a dream or something that would bring him peace? Of course, we were all real upset. And it was, let's see, she died on a Wednesday. I think it was a Sunday night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I guess it's 4 nights later because she died on Wednesday, I believe it was. And on a Sunday night, he had a dream. The Lord gave him a dream, and it brought such peace to me. He called me the next morning. He was bawling when he called me. And the Lord had given him a dream where he saw, like, in the spirit, the moments where she passed away because we were standing by her bedside. And
gosh, that's incredible.
Oh, girl. It is. It really is. I wrote it down later. But anyhow, he saw that it was like we were all standing there again, and he's in this dream. It's just amazing to me that I asked the Lord and that God did it like that. It was like, God, so awesome. But he saw her because she got to where she couldn't breathe. It was last minute. And he saw her, like, struggling to get her breath. And then he saw her, the bed trans into a banquet table. And instead of laying on a bed, she was laying on a banquet table that was decorated in Christmas, because it was Christmas Eve, and it was decorated in the beautiful Christmas dishes and garland and that, and beautiful golden goblets and stuff, and she was laying on this beautiful banquet table. And said, then the light from heaven shone down upon her, and said, when the light shone upon her, said that suddenly she quit wrestling to breathe, and suddenly she just completely was at peace. And said, then she sat up out of her body. And I believe all of this totally happened the way in the spirit. I think it all happened exactly the way the dream was. Said she sat up out of her body and got up out of her body, her spirit did, and said that she looked up to heaven. She looked up then into the light And said she walked towards it and she stopped and she looked back, and he told me, he said, I thought she was going to look back at me. He says, but she looked back at you. And he said she took a step and she put her hand on your shoulder and said that a peace came over you and said, you know, like just the peace of God that's when she touched me, and said then she turned around and went back and then like she left and went to heaven. But, I mean, just an amazing dream, and I knew it had to bring him peace, too.
Oh, for sure. And comfort,
but it definitely brought me peace. Yeah, it definitely brought me peace.
Yeah.
I was so amazed that, you know, that I asked the Lord to give him a dream to bring him peace, and that God did it. You know, and I guess we should always expect, but I was just amazed when he called me that Monday morning, and the Lord had given him a dream, and he was just bawling when he said he had given him to him. I think he said at 12:30 at night, and said he woke up at 12:30 and wrote it all down real quick, and then called me early the next morning. So,
that's amazing.
It is. God is so
amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah, that's powerful. Man, I've never heard any. I've heard lots of people say they have dreams, and it's like the Lord is imparting comfort to them and assurance, you know, where they have glimpses and there's a story, but not like it's incredible.
Yeah,
I mean,
amazing.
Yeah, that is really incredible. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I've had the Lord
powerful.
Give me dreams, wake me up before, and then go back to sleep and continue the dream before. But anyhow, I didn't want to take up all your time, but I wanted to just run over with you about that dream that I had about, it's been about 2 or 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's so cool. Well, do you have any prayer requests?
I would take prayer. We've just been going through, you know, Holocaust seems like we've been going through a lot here the last few weeks, and just things with the animals. It's like the enemy's just tried his best to steal our finances. And of course, Hollis had gone through some things with his body and still going through. And then I had some blood work done the other day that did not come back real favorable. So there's been a lot going on. It has felt somewhat like we've been under attack for the last few weeks. But
yeah.
I did go around our property the other day, and Randy and I think Carmen both had said something, Lord, months ago about, you know, go around and anoint the four corners of your property. Well, one of the corners I couldn't get to at a certain time of year, but now I could now. So the other day I did go around all the corners of the property and our gate and went all around the doors and windows of the home here and anointed it and prayed over everything.
Yeah.
But absolutely, you bet. I don't ever turn down prayer.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep your phone line open while I pray for you. Father God, I thank you for Jeannie, Father, and Hollis, Father, in the name of Jesus. We lift them up to you, God. We thank you, Lord, that they are heirs together in the grace of life. God, I ask that you strengthen them physically, Father God. We speak to their physical bodies, God, in Jesus' name and in the faith of God for the resurrection power, for divine health and restoration and healing to be strengthened unto them, Father God. We speak, Lord, and ask, Lord, let there be balance and correct numbers in the blood work, Father. In Jesus' name, God, let there be health, let there be wholeness. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon their lives, Father. We thank you, Lord, for just even imparting unto them, God, great wisdom, Lord, over their health, God, over the doctors, Lord, that your prescription, God, because they hold the stethoscope of heaven and they're listening to your heart and to your ways, Father God. And we thank you, God, that you would prescribe, Lord, what they're to do for their health, God. We thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask for blood counts to be balanced, God, and health and healing and restoration. I know I prayed that. I'm praying again. So, Father, we pray, Lord, over their property line, setting our faith in agreement with the other saints, the blood of Jesus, to cover them, Lord, and all that they love and own and steward and put their hands to for the greater glory of God. Lord, we thank you for your blood covering over them, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for your protection and guarding them. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we break any word curses over their property, God, anything. I don't know if it'd be, Lord, we break any word curses. Lord, we thank you that no weapon formed against their property shall prosper. And any tongue that shall rise in judgment, you shall condemn, God. We thank you for this, God. We thank you, Lord, for the land that you brought them in would be producing. It would be producing a harvest. It would produce fruitfulness, Father God, and that you would bless the work of their hands and cause it to prosper, God, and all that they put it to do, Father God. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Yeah, we just break. We break anything spoken over their property, God. Anything, even the airways. We speak to the airways and take authority over the airways, over their property, Father God. We thank you for cleansing it with wholeness and health, God, and the anointing oil, God. We thank you for covering that in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, as they're taking dominion, taking their rightful place and taking dominion, God, and putting the stakes in the ground and their claims, God, of your fulfilling the promises of God that you've spoke to them, Lord. In Jesus' name, we break off interference in the airways. In Jesus' name, we break it off and dismantle the fragmented pieces. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for the wind. We ask for the wind of the Spirit to blow those things out, God, and to clear the atmosphere and their surroundings, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I will say one thing. The wind does blow here, and I know we're talking, you know, you're talking spiritually, but many times things in the natural, and it's like we're on a little bit of a hill here. And for whatever reason, that's one thing with Hollis and I both said after we bought the property, moved here, and says, wow, the wind blows here. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for joining us. God bless you. And I look forward to meeting you someday. You feel like a sister to me, so.
I agree. There's so many, you know, that I've gotten to know just through the program that I just are so dear to my heart that I just love. And I would love to get to meet so many of you guys. Just it would be awesome. It would be precious.
I know. It would be very cool. Yes, it would be an awesome gathering for sure.
Annie, I wanted to share the dream with you. And if you get anything, you know, if there's anything you get on it you want to share with me, I mean, you've got my cell number. You're welcome to text me.
Okay,
and
that'd
when
be
you
great.
Were on the
Thank
teaching,
you.
Yeah, the teaching you were doing, it brought, as I was listening to it, all of these things kept coming up. You know, the Lord just reminded me of those things, and I thought, oh, I've got to tell her about that. So, anyhow,
yeah,
I've enjoyed you, and I appreciate you, and thank you for just praying for me and talking to with me.
Yes, I appreciate you, too. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye. Yes, a pleasure talking to you. Okay, let's go to our next caller, which is 870-415. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Shavonda.
Oh, hey, Shavonda.
Hello, how are you?
Good, I'm doing really well. Thank you so much. Thank you for staying with us, Emmy. Your phone line, I'll pray for you. And you can care for your little nugget there. Okay, so Father God, we thank you for Shavonda, Father, in Jesus' name. And we lift her up to you, God, and to your altar, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for your work. Like I see the Lord doing a purifying work and creating you into a vessel, like a pure vessel, you know, where they, you know how they make gold? Well, they burn. There is a burning process, right? But there's also when they're shaping it, it's like they're purifying it and purifying it. And as the more they purify it, right? So there's like 14 karat gold, 18 karat gold, 22 karat or whatever, you know, but most people don't go past 18 because then it's just too soft and it gets easily damaged and bend and fold and whatnot any higher than that. So usually people do 14 karat gold or 18 karat gold, but there's the process to make the gold more pure, right? And so I see this purifying process, you know, but he's using his blood and the purification of the vessel and even shaping it, like, you know, like let's say the vessel is like a vase, kind of like at the, if you think of the ancient thing, except it's made out of gold, and it's like, and there's just this purification of yes, getting it, shaping it and forming it and purifying it. So in this vessel, and then also, but the blood of Jesus, I don't know if he's doing it as it's surrounded in the blood of Jesus, you know, but there's something with the blood of Jesus is definitely in the purification process. And then the vessel of gold being purified and hammered. So it's like the shaping, you know, it's the shaping and the forming, but more of the view as I'm seeing is the purification of the vessel itself. Like the focus is on the vessel and it's being purified and then, you know, so that you can not necessarily see through it, but there is some transparency to it as well. And, you know, when you create a vessel like that, it is, it's not just like everyday pottery, like with clay or whatever. It is, I don't know if that's glass. It almost looks like glass. It's just, there. It's very pure. There's something about it that's very pure, but it also has like these, like a golden tone or specks or whatever. So I thank you for that, for Shavonda, Father God. We thank you, God, how you shape her and form her. And she is your workmanship, God. And we thank you, Lord, that as you're creating that vessel, God, that you'll also fill it to overflowing, God. And as she pours herself out, God, for your glory, God, it's because all that you've bestowed unto her and all that you've given unto her, God, we thank you, Lord, that you would be honored. You would be honored as she pours herself out, God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for her even going through the process to be purified, that she is yours, God, and she belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I just want to say I do thank God for that because I do feel like there's a pressing and burning right now because I'm turning back to God as my first love, but that means I can no longer desire things of the world, and it's like I don't even, you know, I'm starting to not even walk now, and if I even start thinking about it, it's almost like I start getting burning at the living. My marriage has been attacked, and, you know, sometimes there's things with court processes, but I'm believing God to restore my marriage, but I have to stay still. Somebody has to be in the household, you know, to be for God to dwell in the home, you know what I mean? So I'm just, I don't know what the end result may be, but I'm getting hot right now. I'm getting hot right now thinking about it. And it hasn't been an easy process, but, you know, it's just for nothing. Just like saying it's like a purification, literally, like not something that you go through every day, but this has been a different thing for me. And I literally have to surrender completely because it's almost like God is pressing me down to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. It's so, I mean, the work of the Lord is so incredible. You know, like even, I don't know if you were on when Jennifer was talking, but it's interesting to me to even hear you talking how like when we're in something like that, the Holy Spirit is right there and he's showing us, like, we don't know every aspect, but he's showing us enough to know that it's him and that he's doing a work and, you know, like that we can trust that and to lean into him. And then we can see what's being separated from us, you know?
Right.
And so it's so fascinating how even in the midst of despair and troubles that the Lord reveals himself and what he's doing, you know, and gives us enough glimpse and enough understanding, to know to lean into him and to press into him, right? Because, and to be fully committed with hope unto his name, right, and unto the rock of ages. Yeah, so praise God for that. Praise the Lord for that. We thank you, God, for completing what needs to be completed. We thank you for guarding her and guiding her, God, and just continuing to speak to her, Father God, and teaching her to stand, even in the midst of the heat, Lord. And even her full armor, God, that you would cover her, God, with the helmet of salvation, Lord, and knowing what you've done for her and who you are and how you cover her, God, and the shield of faith. We thank you, Lord, for her armor. God, we thank you for fighting for her, for what the enemy brings against her, God. You're fighting for her and contending for her, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you too.
All right.
Bye-bye. Okay, 504-282, good evening. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening. It's Nicole from Louisiana. How are you?
Hey, Nicole. Good. How are you?
I'm good. A little tired, but I'm good.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me mute you. Thank you for joining us and staying with us. I'm sorry. God bless you. And then, Rhonda, you'll be our next caller and our last caller. So, yeah, thank you for staying with us as well. Thank you. So, Father God, we thank you for Nicole in Jesus' name. Father, we just lift her up to you, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for refreshing. I'm just seeing a refreshing coming your way. You know how, like, I'm seeing a refreshing, some type of refreshing coming your way, and very noticeable, right? So you know how you can go, like, when you just step inside and there's air conditioning when it's, like, July, you know, and you're like, oh, that's so refreshing. And, like, so, yeah, I'm seeing a refreshing coming, and it noticeable, like a noticeable refreshing. I don't know if you've ever been in like Colorado, and if you walk there, like if on behind a mountain, if it's shaded, like it is noticeably a different temperature, like the change of the temperature from being in the sun to behind to the mountain shaded area is noticeable, you know? So there's some type of noticeable refreshing that you're going to step into. I feel like it's even a stepping into, and you just notice it in the atmosphere. You notice it, you know, so sometimes because, you know, as we all know, things happen in the spirit first, and sometimes God will show, like, this is about to happen, and then, like, or we get a glimpse of it, and then, you know, when it's done or it's manifolded on earth as it is in heaven, you know, it might be whoever knows how long that is, right, and how that works, because of, and it can be different, right? It's not all the same, because God's not a God of formulas. He's a God of formation. So we thank you, God, for your formation, and Nicole, God, and just this refreshing, God. I don't know if the refreshing is part of the formation. I don't know. But I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your heart and your hand, Lord, and guiding her. This is the Lord guiding you. You know, like very much like a gentleman guiding you. You know how like a gentleman will put his hand on the small of your back, as they say, and it kind of guides you so that you don't step into something, you know what I mean? But it's very gentleman-like, you know, like their whole hand might not even be on it, might just be like their finger, you know, they're just like guiding you, but it's, again, very gentleman-like, and it's like a guarding and a protection, but an also direction. It's a form of guiding you into the direction you need to go in. Yeah, so I thank you for that, God. Refreshing. Okay, We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for her receiving this refreshing, God, and just stepping into it. Now that's noticeable. Thank you. And somehow on your face, I'm seeing, I don't know what you look like, but I'm seeing this refreshing notice on your face. So I don't know if it's something with your countenance. I don't know if that has something to do with just the element of refreshing and the yeah, and just how we pick up on things, even temperature-wise. Yeah, so I'm not sure, but praise the Lord. Also, glory to God.
Glory to God. I received it, especially the last part. I was just talking to the Lord, like, just God, please refresh, because I've been getting comments from people saying, you know, is everything okay? You know, I think I just kind of look burnt out.
Oh.
It's not funny, but I do think I'm wearing the burnout on my face. So I was just asking God, like, please just refresh my face, because normally people always say, oh, you know, you have just a really bright, you know, happy impression. Whatever I see, you know, you just kind of see. But lately I haven't been hearing things like that. It's more so been, is everything okay? You know, that's how I know I look burnt out. Wearing it on my face. Just kind of noticing more wrinkles and stuff. And it's not a vanity thing. It really is a thing. Like, I've noticed more wrinkles. It's just kind of, my face looks stressed. Like, what's happening on the inside is being worn on the outside. So, yeah, so I was just asking God, just please refresh me. I don't want to leave that impression with other people. It's just, you know, not a good representation of the kingdom. So, so I know he's been listening. I know he's been listening. So,
yeah, and he's guiding and directing you. So he will lead you to the refreshing, you know. So praise God.
Praise God. Thank you so much for that prayer.
You're welcome. Do you have any prayer requests? Or?
Just continuing protection. I'm trying to get licensed and just, I'm ready to, well, not leave my job, but, you know, I'm ready to move on to the next level in my career. And I know God is, like, nudging me to, okay, come on, complete this, you know, get licensed and, you know, just God's protection and guidance through that. And so I think that's where the word is coming through with, you know, guiding. But, you know, just helping me to get to that point where I can complete this next phase and just get licensed.
Okay. Absolutely. I also know what that's like. Okay. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Let me close your phone line. Thank you. I'll pray for you and move to the next one. Thank you. God bless you. So, Father, we pray over Nicole, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for just your protection over her license, Father, and the time that she needs, Lord, and every effort and aspect, Lord, for it to be completed, Father God, and even the finances, Lord, whatever the time, the process, the paperwork, the finances, Lord, and even the stamina, God. We ask, Lord, by your grace that you would strengthen her, God, and give her sustaining stability for the completion of her license, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for guiding her through this, Lord, and directing her to complete this, Father God, Lord, so that just that she could bless the community, bless her family, her daughter, Lord, and bless the work of her hands, Lord, and even her coworkers, her colleagues, Lord, all that she comes in contact with, God, let her be a blessing, God. So we thank you, Lord, just for blessing the process and bringing it to completion, Father, and preserving it, preserving the process to completion. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now our friend Miss Rhonda. Hey, you're like my sister.
I know. And look, I heard Jeannie, so the prayer you prayed for her, I just touch in agreement with your faith, with the word of God and the prayer that was spoken. I just touch it. I come into agreement with what you prayed and spoke over her life. I declare and decree it as well as you prayed. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 I wanted to share that I got on kind of late, and I heard you talking about the number nine, the meaning of nine, and you said evangelism, and you said some other things, and I was like, I wasn't going to press one to say anything, but nine is my actual birth month, and it's also my actual birth date. So it's like everything you was naming off of what nine meant, like evangelism. I think in 2013, mm-hmm. the church that I was a part of, she, you know, anointed me as an evangelist, and I was like, I got to press one. So I'm going to go back and listen so I can write them all down, you know, because I want to just go over them and pray them into my life, you know. I'm trying to hurry because I know you don't have much time. No, you don't have to. Okay.
I can read them again. I can read them again if you want. So remember, they're twice. Yeah, you know what? It's funny because when I had seen those numbers today, it was like I was reading something else, and they were talking about the numbers that were in the Bible, like, because they were saying these other numbers, you don't ever see these numbers in the Bible. And when I seen 3, mm-hmm. 6, and 9, I was like, oh, my gosh, that reminds me of the watch, the prayer watches. So anyway, mm-hmm. I had wrote those down, and when I got to 9, I was like, there's something different about 9. I knew it was like so anyways, that's interesting that you said that. So it must be just for you.
Mm-hmm.
So no, there's others, but that's cool that it's double nines for you.
Right.
So evangelist, Holy Spirit, perfect movement, and conclusion, fullness of blessing, renewal. Okay, so this number nine actually comes from the symbol book, like from a dream thing. So what they mm-hmm. do in this is because sometimes when we have a dream, there's a positive connotation or a negative mm-hmm. connotation to the dream. So they list both sides of it, or even if, you know, there's an element in the natural that's not, so I'm saying the rest of it. So judgment, serpent, tribulation, fruit of the spirit, and completeness and finality.
Oh, wow. Yes, yes, yes. So I'm going to, I'm at work, so I'm going to go back and listen to those and write them down. And like I said, I'm going to pray and speak those into my life. Because
yeah,
a lot of stuff
God.
I can identify with, and that's what I have. Like one other thing I wanted to share, because this weekend I went to my great niece's christening, and I wasn't going, but when I went, you know, the church, it's the church that I spoke at in December. They invited me, so you know, when I prayed,
yeah.
I prayed in the Holy Ghost and just, you know, worshiping the church in the Holy Ghost. So Sunday, the lady was like, you should have let me know you was coming. I would have asked you to preach. I said, no, I came to worship. But to make a long story short, as I was sitting out there worshiping and she was praying, I was praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, it was a guy got up, and one of the deacons, he went up to go and pray. And he said, as I come to pray, he said, I just want to ask, is there any other men in the church that want to come and stand with me as I pray? Sister Deborah, every man in that church got up, including my great niece's dad that was holding her. It was an altar full of men just went up there. It was such a beautiful thing. And I felt the Holy Spirit moving, and I was like, Lord, thank you. Something God is getting ready to do, because, you know, God called men long time ago, and a lot of men have went through things in life that has caused,
yeah.
you know, interference with them coming forth and doing the things that God called them. But it was just, it was such a beautiful thing. I mean, I just felt like the presence of the Holy Spirit in there when them men all got up
and went up there. And I said, like, to some people, that might not have mean anything, but in the spirit, I could feel something. And I said, Lord, thank you, because I was like, you know, I said, Lord, is this where you want me to start coming? Because it's like 2 hours from me, but the Lord has had me praying over that church for their children's ministry. And, like, a couple of things I prayed and also, you know, released what he gave me. It's something that they've been, you know, doing, like coming up with a children's ministry. And she was like, well, I know the Lord is speaking to you. She said, because we just had a meeting about that. And she said, you don't know anything about that. So I just feel like, I don't know, you know, if the Lord is going to use me there for a certain period of time or just to go there and pray and, you know, do what he called me to do. So I wanted to share that. That was that blessed me. It really blessed me to see those men get up and go up to the, together, you know, collectively as another man stood and prayed. And the last thing that I wanted is it's people that are going through things. My neighbor kind of had a meltdown yesterday, and she came to our house, and she went to the house on the other side. She deals with schizophrenic, bipolar, and she seemed to think people go in her house and take her stuff, which they don't. We have cameras. She have cameras, and the people next door have cameras. So I don't know what was going on, but I wanted to get prayer for her. Her name is Kim. And then I have a friend that has a daughter named Stephanie that's dealing with depression, you know, that has kind of affected her job. So I wanted to get prayer for her as well. And I also wanted to get prayer for my youngest daughter, Alyssa, and my oldest daughter, Ashley.
Okay. Well, I just got a text. I'm sure you got it, too. Randy's taking off tonight, so we don't have to hurry. Okay, so we're okay.
Okay.
So let me...
Yeah, it's a lot of people that are going through, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but people are really going through, and it's the enemy. And a lot of these people, you know, have callings on their life, but the enemy is trying to make them, like, fret or faint or give up, you know, because they don't understand what's going on. They just know that it's an attack, and he's really trying to attack people's minds. So I just encourage everybody, you know, on the line tonight that we continue to pray for people. A young lady I found out passed away last night. She was 20-something. I don't know what happened. But the Lord led me to minister to her 2 years ago through Facebook Messenger. It's one of my classmates' stepdaughters. And I was, you know, inviting her to, like, church and stuff and just ministering to her. And I don't know what happened. I know we kind of lost connection because I hadn't talked to her, but she would, like, message me and ask me to pray for her and stuff. But I don't know. I hadn't talked to her maybe, like, in a couple of years, but I seen yesterday where she had passed away. And I didn't ask, you know, what happened. But I just, you know, encourage people to continue to pray for people. You know, we don't know what people are going through. We don't know what battle they're having to, you know, engage with. But the enemy really wants to come against people's mind and make them give up, you know, and think that that's the easy way out, that God can't fix our situation. So that's what I want prayer for.
Yeah, that's such a good word. I mean, it sounds so practical, but it's such a good reminder for people to remember to see it like that, you know. So, yeah, thank you. Well, let me mute your phone line, and thank you for joining us, and I'll pray for Kim, Stephanie, and Alyssa, and Ashley. So thank you for hanging in there. I'm so glad that you did, and you do feel like a sister, so I do mean that sincerely.
Oh, yes, so, and I love and you I as well, Jenny and everybody else. Yeah. Yes, I love you all. I enjoy the ministry and everything that God has been doing in the season. I think I've been listening to PGN since 2016, so I enjoy the relationships, you know, that he's brought forth through this ministry.
Yeah, amen. That's a good word, too. Okay, thank you. God bless you, and you have a good week, and bless your family.
God bless you too.
Well.
Love you. You have a blessed week. Amen.
Thank you. Amen to you. So, Father, we thank you for Kim, Lord, Rhonda's neighbor. God, we just pray for her, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that for the wisdom for the doctors, Lord, even the medical field and team, Lord, all those that care for her, Lord. We just ask for a strengthening and equipping for her, God, and over her mind as well, God. And we thank you, Lord, for her family and her loved ones, just to even speak into her life, God, so that she could see not only how she can pray, Lord, but how she can take responsibility, Lord, for what's happening and her reactions, God. I know those are very practical things, but they are, the Lord does want us to be, right, the fruits of the Spirit to come forth in Kim's life, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we protect her, God, so that this will not go any further either, God, that she doesn't become paranoid and psychosis, anything, God. It doesn't increase, Father God, but it decreases, Lord, and that you would melt and resolve and dissolve by the blood of the Lamb. God, place the blood of the Lamb upon Kim, Father God, the blood of the Lamb upon Stephanie, God, the blood of the Lamb upon Alyssa, and the blood of the Lamb upon Ashley, Father God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for freeing Stephanie, God, from depression, Father God. We ask for that you preserve her job, Lord, preserve her needs, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, and deliver her from the oppressor. God, we just break, Lord, and command, Lord, that the oppressor get his talons off of her. In Jesus' name, we break that yoke, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that she would be yoked to you and learn of you, God. And we thank you, Lord. Every place that's weary, she would come unto you, God. We thank you for your invitation to her, God. We pray that she would say yes to you, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, and we thank you for loosening those ties, loosening the ties of the enemy and the oppressor, God, that they would become frayed, God, and loosened, God, and dismissed and relieved and removed from her. God, loosen that, Father, in Jesus' name. She would be free and be made whole, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And Father God, we pray for Alyssa, just as when I prayed the blood of Jesus over her, I see the protection and the guarding of God, like the Lion of Judah, to guard her and to guide her in Jesus' name, and great protection as well through the blood of Jesus upon Alyssa, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing her steps and blessing her way, Lord, and Ashley as well, that the fulfillment of the promises would unfold in their lives, Father God. We thank you for the heritage, Lord, and the inheritance in Christ and faith that they, and the richness of faith and grace that they have in their family bloodline through Rhonda and her husband, Father God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for sustaining them, Lord, and giving them clarity of guidance, clarity of mind, Lord, to know your ways and to know your will, God. And your word says, even in Proverbs, where it says, he gives the heart of the discerning, acquires knowledge, and the ears of the wise seek it out. So I thank you, Father God, as they seek out your wisdom, Father, they find your knowledge, the knowledge of who you are, God. And I thank you for the increase of that, God, and blessing their minds, Lord, with increase of wisdom, increase of knowledge of who you are, God. And that comes through spiritual revelation, God, as Ephesians 1:17 even says, Lord. So we thank you. We thank you for this, Father God, and how you've engrafted them and enfolded them. And the word of God, and we thank you, Father, that they would be abiding in your word, Lord, that produces, God, even as they rest in your word, God, that it's producing, God, even as we talked about dreams tonight, God, as we're resting, God, in that dream that Jeannie shared with that her brother-in-law had, God, that it was producing just a spiritual peace and spiritual outcome, God, even to overflowing, that it blessed Jeannie. God, you are marvelous. You are wonderful. God, we are as Psalm 139 says, we are created marvelously, God, and your works, Lord, it's your works that are marvelous, God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and your works are marvelous, God, in Ashley and Alyssa and Stephanie and Kim, God, and all of our listeners and family on PGN, God, and through us, God. Let your marvelous ways come through us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless everyone. Thank you so much for being here tonight. God bless you. We'll see you next time.